This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Now again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on the website, and there's a weekly meditation there. And you can contact me if you'd like to make comments or leave prayer requests, either through the website or my regular mailing address. And so if you want those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we've been working our way through Luke chapter 19, and we have looked at the story having to do with Zacchaeus coming down out of a tree and receiving the Lord and actually receiving salvation. And he's a picture of a sinner that needed to be saved, and who was saved, and whose life was changed because he was saved. And last time we spent some time on the parable of the man going into the far country, starting at Luke 19 and verse 11, and we talked a little bit about the kingdom, and the fact that the kingdom today is a spiritual, mystical thing. And it is not a physical thing, but there is a millennial kingdom coming. And I wanted to continue with that thought today, but I'm going to make a break because in my life things have changed. Last September 26th, so that'll be a little over a week ago when you listen to this, my mom of 96 years, who was 96 years old, passed into the presence of the Lord. And I thought it might be wise to just break away for a few minutes and reflect a little bit on life and on the reason why on this program we preach quite heavily about with regard to verses like Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're thankful that the Lord has come to save that which was lost, and we're thankful for everyone who was saved. And when I think on my mom, who had a long life, she was saved, even though there was a time when she was lost. There's a verse that has kept coming before me since my mom has passed into the presence of the Lord, and that verse is found in James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life?" And this is what I've been thinking about. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now, my mom had 96 years on this earth. 96 years. But what is that in the light of eternity? If you go around the cemeteries and look at headstones, in some cases the headstone will show the year of the birth of the person, and it will show the year of the death of the person. And in between those two engravings on the stone will be a dash. So it might be 1917-2013. But that dash represents the totality of the life of that person. And it's that dash that I've been thinking about. What is our lives? They appear, they are even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. My mother raised 9 living children. She lost 2. And as a result of that, there was a lot of work to be done. She left a legacy behind her. She took care of us, and at the end we had to take care of her. But at the same time, the life that she lived is represented by, according to James, a little vapor, or if we're looking at headstones, a little dash, because on either side of that dash is eternity. And we know that there's an eternity past. We don't understand it, but we do know logically that there's an eternity future. And the question is, when we live this dash, are we living it in such a way that we're preparing properly for the eternity that is future? What is in store for my mom now? Well, even though her life was long and full, it had many hardships, and the hardships are over. there were many joys, but the joys are over. And as far as her family's concerned, for a time, there's going to be no way that we can communicate with her. Death separates. And as we look at her death, we are reminded again of the fact that sin came into this world, and because of sin, death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so the one sure thing about this life is that if we've been born, we're going to die apart from the rapture of the church, which we've been looking for 2,000 years. But in the Bible, there's only, as far as I know, been two people, one being a man by the name of Enoch in the Old Testament, and one being Elijah in the Old Testament, who have escaped death. Even the Lord himself died. He died on a cross of Calvary, but there's only been two people that have escaped death. But there is a rapture coming that will catch living believers home to be with the Lord, and those people will escape death. Now, my mother was looking forward to the rapture and had hoped that the Lord would come before she would die, but he didn't. And so she entered into the one thing that's certain in this life apart from the rapture, and she entered into death. Now, what is in store for her? Well, I think of Paul, who writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's at the end of his life, and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Now, when we look at that verse, many people think that that day refers to a future day having to do with the judgment seat of Christ. But if you read carefully in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. He had been spared from the lion's mouth, but he hadn't been spared from execution, and he was looking forward to the day of his martyrdom. I think his execution date was not far in the future. The date may have been set, it may not have been set, but he knew it was coming. And if you were on death row waiting for the day of your execution, I don't care how spiritual you are, you would be thinking about that day. And Paul had confidence about that day. In 1 Timothy 1, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And again, I'm quite convinced that Paul was thinking about the day when he was going to depart. The time of his departure was at hand. And he says, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. I believe he would get that crown on the day of his death. So if this is speaking of a future day of judgment that we call the judgment seat of Christ, perhaps that takes place the moment we die. It would make sense to me that it would. I'm not dogmatic about that, but it would make sense to me that it would. That rewards would be given out and accolades would be given and commendations would be given when we meet the Lord. Because I think that's what he's saying, is the Lord is going to appear to him. Now, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, there's a number of words that are associated with that concept. But here, the word his appearing, which we usually associate with the coming of the Lord, is a word from which we get the word epiphany. It's the outshining brightness and glory of the Lord. It's a revelation that has to do with the manifestation of glory. And when we look at the Lord, he's going to appear to Paul. When's that going to happen? It's going to happen on that day. And he says that appearing occurs for everyone who loves the Lord's appearing. You couldn't love the Lord's appearing if he was coming to judge you and condemn you, but the Christian is saved and he's not going to be condemned. And so I believe that Paul is saying that when he crosses that death, what we call that dead line, when he is martyred, that he's going to have an epiphany. He's going to see the glory of the Lord. He's going to see the brightness of the Lord's glory. That's the first thing that's going to meet, that he's going to meet. Now, some people have near-death experiences and describe that kind of an experience, feeling the love of God and seeing the bright light that they're drawn to. I'm not going to say that those near-death experiences are in fact real, but they do speak to me much like this verse speaks to me. And I believe that my mom has had that epiphany. I believe she has seen the Lord. I personally believe that those of us who are saved, the first thing we're going to see when we pass over to the other side is the Lord himself. And then what's going to be in store for her? Well, we really don't know a whole lot about what's in store for her after that. But I do know that lately I've been thinking about how that Peter and James and John saw the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. And on that Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses and Elijah. And they were talking with the Lord. And while I don't understand a lot about the kind of a body my mother has now, if I'm looking at the Mount of Transfiguration, which Peter makes clear was not a cunningly devised fable, but was the reality. They had seen reality there. They had gotten a glimpse of heaven, so to speak. When they saw that, they were able to recognize Moses and Elijah. How, I don't know. They could see the Lord with his clothes shining and the brightness of his glory shining. And so I believe that what's in store for my mom is that. I believe that she would be recognizable. She'll be able to communicate. She'll be able to talk to the Lord. But in the future, she's going to live. And at what point this is going to take place, whether it's immediately or in the future, she's going to live in a land of no mores. Revelation tells us about this land of no mores. There's no more darkness, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more anything that defiles. It's a land of no more death, no more sickness. Think of it. And she's going to live in a land of no mores. Now, my mom has it good. I'm sorrowing because she's gone. I'm missing her because she's gone. But my mom has it good. She has gone to a better place. We say that, and we say it in such a trite way sometimes that we don't understand the impact of it. My mom's in a better place. But folks, she prepared for the day of her death a long time ago. There was a day when she was struggling with the issue of her salvation, and there was a verse of scripture that says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And she believed God. She believed that Christ died for her sins and that God would not cast her out. And she's in the presence of the Lord today because she prepared while she was living for the day of her death. And I hope you have done that as well, my friend. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask for thy blessing upon our program. We thank thee for the memory of my mother. We thank thee that she's with you. She's enjoying your presence, and she no longer is suffering. So we just commend thy word to thee and pray for thy blessing in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.